my message today, what's living in you? My scripture is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. I feel real joy today, you know. I've interrupted myself already. Because I'm seeing so many mums in here that I know, that have been part of my over 65s, a ministry that was started some years ago. And it's so good to see you come out, perhaps with your daughter today, or relatives, that you're here just to celebrate God, irrespective of how you might feel in your body, but you've made the effort to come and to be among us. And it just delights my heart. We're family, aren't we? Yeah. We're family. So I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So as we celebrate and acknowledge mothers today, let's establish something first, that male and female were created. Not just male, not just female. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. I'm reading from the CEB, Common English Bible, because I like the way it says it. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us, so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth." God created humanity in God's own image. Humanity, that's all of us. In the divine image, God created them male and female. God created them. So male and female are part of his image. We are created equally, as it were, male and female, in him. Let me read Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. I read from the Amplified Bible version. Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. This is the book, the written record, the history of the generations of the offspring of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female, and blessed them and named them both Adam or man or human at the time they were created. So this is just to show that God has the characteristics and the attributes of both male and female. He created us in his image. Now, I'm not one of those people, in case you think I am, that think that women should rule the world. Don't be disappointed with me. I'm standing on this platform because a man asked me to. Because God led them that way. And so I preach and I teach. And there are many differing opinions in the world about what women should do and what they shouldn't do. But one thing I'm not is a feminist. Feminism is a spirit. And that's the thinking of the world. We don't need to adopt the world's thinking. We've got a greater teacher in the Word of God. So I'm not a guru for let a woman do this, do that, do that, do that, because, you know, we need to be the same and equal. Look, we're made with different characteristics and personalities and special things by God. The Word of God declares it clearly. And I was asking myself the question, what are some of the female attributes or characteristics of God? What parts of the image of God remind us of women? What we generally see about women. We do acknowledge the difficulty in pointing out differences between men and women with the ever-increasing agendas on identity. We're not here to say yay or nay to that. But men and women, especially when it comes to having and caring for children, will act similarly. So we have the fact that if a child is in trouble, a man, a father, will care just as much as a mother would for their child. They'll be desperate. They'll do whatever they need to do. So I'm not trying to say women are more caring, etc. And with the agendas that are out today, we have to be a little bit more careful. We're not going to push anybody away because of what they believe, but we want to bring an understanding of the Word of God, the truth, into every life that we come across and bring the balance of the Word of God and His truth. So, why are we made in His image? What other things would remind us that the image of female is also in God? I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 from the Amplified. I'm just paraphrasing. Love. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. And when I think about mother, I do think about the fact that when it comes to sacrificing themselves, they're doing this for their children. So they're not seeking for their own. Every day they get up, they want to provide for their children. When they're young, when they're older, oh, they're still my children. They still have needs. It doesn't go away. They're with them forever. But there is this sacrificialness about them. So women remind me of that particular verse in 1 Corinthians 13 that, you know, they're not self-seeking. They are, they give up their own rights. They give up what they would want to do and be in the light of caring for children and nurturing them first of all. And that must come from the Lord. Proverbs 31 verse 12, Proverbs 31 verse 12 also speaks of the fact that she, the woman, comforts, encourages, and does him only good as long as there is life in her. So there's this aspect of women being really good at comforting and bringing comfort. Not that men can't, I've been comforted by men, but there's something about them that's from God, the ability to comfort, the ability to encourage. They come home from school, somebody's been awful to them or said something to them, and mum will just be encouraging that child with her love, with her acceptance of the child. Don't believe a word they say, you know. And she wants to do good to her children in general. I am speaking in general. I do acknowledge that life is not easy and that things go wrong, that there are difficulties in relationships, that there are disappointments and hardships. And I have to acknowledge that. But somehow, even in the midst of it, mothers have this capacity to keep going, to press through, to push through. I've been in situations where I've listened to stories from the Caribbean. My mum grew up in Jamaica. Where did her mother find food when there was none to eat and nowhere for food to come from? But they never hungered. An ability is there to provide, to do. So we thank God that male and female are the image of God and that mothers are part of that image. We also acknowledge that women therefore have a place and a purpose in God's kingdom, in the earth, in life. We have a place, we have a purpose. Mothers, you have a purpose. And so I'm going to speak about a few women in the Bible. And I must acknowledge Kwabena, one of our young staff members who led a devotion for the staff on Tuesday and spoke about Ruth and Rahab. And inspired me to look at connections and look at what it is or was so special about these women. So first of all, I'm going to talk about Rahab. And I ask the question, did she know? Rahab, did you know? Did you know what was living in you? She was a Canaanite. And so being a descendant of Ham, Noah's son, Canaan were always against Israel. They were not a good people in the eyes of Israel, in the eyes of God's people. But this Canaanite lived in Jericho, and spies were sent because Israel needed to understand the military power of Jericho before they were able to take the land. And this Rahab, who was a prostitute, who wasn't living the best of lives, she protected the spies who came to look. What was in her that made her want to do something? What was living inside of her that made her decide that Israel was a true people of God, and that their God was more important than even her own life? She took the risk, she protected the spies, and she believed that God would also save her and her family. He did. But in her actions, did she know that by helping this nation, a future would come to pass? Because Jesus came out of that nation of Judah especially. They were not lost like the other people of Jericho. She saved her family, but did she know what it would mean in the future? Did she know what was living inside her? Ruth, did Ruth know? The marriage of Ruth and Boaz brings together the lines of Lot and Abraham, who had become separated. Lot was Abraham's nephew, decided to go his own way, do his own thing. There was a big kind of split, and for generations they were not together. Lot is the father of Moab, and Ruth was a Moabitess, so she was from Moab, against Israel, or against Judah. And Abraham was the father of Judah, who's the father of Perez, and Boaz comes from that line. So two lines that really were related came together in marriage. Now, did Ruth know what she was doing when she obeyed her mother-in-law and sat at the feet of Boaz? Did she know that out of Boaz and herself would come the lineage for the Savior Jesus Christ? Did she know what was living in her, and yet she stepped forward and obeyed? Anna the prophetess. Anna was 84 years old when they spoke about her in the Bible. And she was a woman who was on her knees in the temple. Did Anna know what it would lead to? Did she know what was living inside her? Anna, they said she lived in the temple. She fasted and prayed and prophesied at the coming of Jesus Christ. She knew that Messiah was going to come. But look at her father, Phanuel, or Penuel. He is mentioned once only in the New Testament, in the book of Luke. He was a member of the tribe of Asher, which means happy. And his name means face of God. Anna's father was called face of God. And this widow lived before the face of God, as it were, in a temple, prophesying, fasting, praying for the coming of Jesus Christ. Did she know what those prayers were about to do and bring? Yet she was able to see this young baby Jesus coming to the temple to be dedicated. But did she know while she prayed? Did she know? Did she know what was living inside of her? Did she know what her prayers were doing? What her fasting was doing continually? That didn't stop until she saw. Deborah. Many people quote Deborah. Did Deborah know? The scripture says in Judges 5:7, then you, Deborah, rose up. You got up a mother in Israel. I don't know what type of mother she was. I understand she was married, so perhaps she had physical children. She was a prophetess. She was the only female judge over Israel. And these were the days before Israel demanded a king from God. So she was judging, she was prophesying, she was counseling over Israel. But it was unusual because she was a woman. But she was a woman of faith. Because when the man wouldn't go because he was scared to go into battle, she said, we're going. What was living in her that would make her know that God would give them victory? Without that, perhaps the nation would have been destroyed. How then would the lineage of Jesus take place? Even more so, a lady called Jael. I became familiar with the name because one of my friends used to call herself Jael. Jael was a heroine. She actually fulfilled what Deborah was demanding, and she killed Sisera and delivered him into the hands of Israel. So Jael was the one who brought the conquering. What was it about her? What was living inside of her that she would believe she could do this? that she would believe, I'm able to go forth and I'm able, and she struck his head and killed him. Israel prevailed. What's the outcome of it? What's living inside of her that's now living in somebody today? Jesus Christ is living in us because of these women of God. I speak in the New Testament about Priscilla. Did she know? Priscilla is always named with her husband Aquila. So Aquila and Priscilla, Priscilla and Aquila, all the time. They followed and supported Jesus' earthly ministry. But they didn't just support, they taught, they evangelized, they began to live what he was teaching and pass it on to others. But did Priscilla know that by doing that, we believe in Jesus today? Because her evangelism counted for something. Do you know what's living inside of you? Mothers, women of God. Let's go back to one of my favorite ladies in the Bible, Esther. Her Hebrew name is Hadassah. She's the one who her relative, probably a cousin, Mordecai, said that she needed to go before the king in order for her nation Israel to be saved. And that he'd said, perhaps you were born for such a time as this. If you don't go, she went before the king risking her life, even though she was his wife, she still had to have permission. She was able to be instrumental in the salvation of her nation rather than its ruin. What did that lead to? It led to Jesus, because Judah and Israel kept existing until the time of Jesus when he came into the earth. And what about the mother of Jesus, Mary? Did she know? She's from the tribe of Judah as well. And when the angel came and said that by the Holy Spirit you will become pregnant, she said, be it unto me according to your will. She sacrificed herself. She thought nothing of herself. She wanted to do the will of God, because living inside of her was this incredible faith. You see, many of the other women named, they came from difficult lives, prostitution, difficulties, you name it. But this lady, she was faithful, full of faith, believing in her God, and still willing. I'm going to give up my rights. I'm going to give up all that I may have dreamt and wanted. I'm going to put myself on the line. I'm going to be persecuted in society. I'm going to be called all kinds of names because I shouldn't be pregnant before I'm married. But for you, Jesus. And she gave the world the physical, embodied Son of God, Jesus Christ. Did she know that it would lead to us today sitting in Kensington Temple, serving Jesus Christ? Did she know that we would have eternal life because of her act, because of her sacrifice? What is living in you? And it applies to men and women alike, but I'm speaking to women today. What's living in you, mothers, that you can pass to another? Some say, well, I don't fit in. My life has been one of heartache, difficulty. That was them in the Bible. God planned it. But for me, what do I have to bring? What do I have to give? What's inside of you? Why do you come Sunday after Sunday, mother, serving the Lord? I don't want to embarrass people, but I see so many stories in here. There's a couple sitting somewhere above me. And I remember when the lady came to me, distressed. There was just nothing to live for. She gave her life to Jesus Christ. She began to climb up and up and up and up. And most Sundays, it's not her alone sitting in church, but her husband is sitting with her. One of her sons gave his life to Jesus Christ. He prayed the prayer. Because she has something living inside of her today that years ago she did not. And her children are affected, and her husband is affected. because something is living inside of her that they can hold on to and take hold of. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have a friend sitting in here today as well. She prayed for so many years as her son searched everything. Every type of religion, gave his life to Jesus, came out of it, living his life, trying to discover truth. But she kept praying. So if she didn't think that she had worth or value, if she didn't think she could make a difference, her prayers living in her and going up to Jesus Christ brought about last year the salvation of her son. What's living inside of her faith that God would do it? Let's look now again at the power of Timothy's family so we can answer those questions from the beginning. First of all, I want to talk about the definition of legacy. Legacy means the long-lasting impact of particular events or actions that took place in the past. Rahab, Ruth, Anna, etc. Long-lasting impact, events, Esther, actions that cause today to open the way for us to know Jesus Christ and have eternal life. Legacy. Definition of heritage. An inherited or established way of thinking, of feeling or doing. So I do something that my mother does and that I was told her mother did. I didn't know my grandmother. My mum folds her lips when she's not doing anything, when she's watching TV, and I find myself doing it. So I've inherited something in my family that I wouldn't have thought of or even I'm conscious of. But we inherit, and we can inherit things that are not good, and as born-again Christians, we know what to do with those things. We remove them from our lives. We say no to anything that's not of God. We don't need the ancestral things that are not of God attached to our lives. And we break them, don't we, children of God? But there are some great things. Our features, the way we look, what our parents may have done for us that make us who we are today. There's something living in you, mothers. Some don't have their mothers on earth today, as Corinne spoke about earlier on. But the legacy their mother leaves is there in their lives to show. I remember my grandmother was born again Christian. And I, in my immediate family, was the first one to become born again. But it was amazing for me to understand that my grandmother was born again. So somehow there was a heritage for me. And then my mum got born again and my sisters got born again. And so it carried on because our grandmother was born again and loved the Lord. And I thank God for that. So there's legacy and heritage. And this is what is being spoken about in 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to read it now from the Amplified, break it down a bit. I'm calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith. So Paul is writing his very last letter, the last words that people have seen or known that Paul spoke before he was executed for his faith. Timothy was being mentored by him. He was learning from him. And Paul was desperate, writing in 1 Timothy and then 2 Timothy, that this Timothy would not fail, that his faith wouldn't fail. How was he going to feel when his mentor was murdered? Would he carry on? Would he be strong enough? Would he have faith to keep going and believing these truths? And Paul was writing to him to encourage him, don't give up because I'm not going to be here anymore. Don't give up because everything will be on your shoulders and you'll be persecuted for your faith. Be strong in your faith. So he said, I'm calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith. Paul is remembering the things that Timothy had already done, and he wants to encourage him in that. And in the brackets, it says, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ. Timothy, everything he was, he leaned it on God in Christ. He sacrificed his wants, his desires. There was something about him leaning entirely on Christ as he was learning and walking. And it says, in absolute trust and confidence in the power of God, wisdom and goodness. So there was this picture that Paul had. I'm remembering how you leaned with your whole personality, with everything you are, on Jesus Christ, absolutely trusting, absolutely confident in his power, his wisdom, and his goodness. But where did it come from? Not just Paul's teaching, but it came from a faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother. That's what he's saying to Timothy. It was a permanent living of his grandmother that brought about his own living. That means his grandmother wasn't faithful today and then tomorrow, she didn't really care. That means that his grandmother always showed her daughter, Eunice, faith. So that permanently living in the heart of your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I'm fully persuaded, dwells in you also. Where are they? So if I look at Titilio, and if I look at Olamide, and if I look at Mama, Lydia, is she here today? So, grandmother, mother, daughter in our house. Legacy, heritage. They serve Jesus. They serve Jesus. Three family members and more. But together, you're always seeing them in church. Grandmother, mother, daughter. Living permanently. Faith coming. Faith being taken up, faith being a legacy, faith being caught, faith being lived. That's what Paul was boasting about Timothy. Because of your grandmother, because of your mother, I'm persuaded this faith lives in you also. And some of you are in here and you know the reason that you're here today, because of what your mother has been in your life. I acknowledge that there's no perfection in relationships on earth. There are difficulties in families, and some are desperate to reconcile. God hears, remember the prayers of a mother. There are some children that perhaps don't want to speak to their mum again, and some mums that are desperate to be involved in the lives of their children again, and they're not allowed. But those mums keep praying and keep trusting God. What's living in you, mothers? Proverbs 31:26 says, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Those of you who receive your gift today, that's the scripture. Are you a mother who speaks with wisdom? Are you a mother who gives faithful instruction? What's living in you that you're giving to your children and to the next generations? To spiritual children. Proverbs 1 verses 8 to 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Father's instructions are important. Amen? And do not forsake your mother's teaching. So mamas, teach. Teach your children. Teach them the good things about the word of God. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. What about this scripture, women, from Proverbs 31, verse 10 in the Amplified? A capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman, who is he who can find her? Do you call yourself capable, intelligent, and virtuous? Do you get up every day and say, that's me? But you don't. But ought we not to pray those things into our lives so that we are those things? So that whomever we're giving, my spiritual sons and daughters, perhaps your physical children, ought we not to be asking God, make us this capable, intelligent, virtuous woman She's far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls. Do you know your value, mothers? As you toil and labor and work and give, as you see the successes of your children as they grow up, do you know your value? Do you realize what you have input into them that's now living in them for the next generation? I was watching, I was glimpsing a program. I wasn't watching it. I was sharing a room with somebody the last couple of days who was watching TV. And it's one of them reality things. There was a man, they're having a little group thing, you know, and they get all emotional. And there was a man who was talking about, out of his, I think he's got 8 children or something, that two of his daughters never, ever speak to him. And then he wept. And the pain of knowing that he wants to reach out to them and love them, but they don't want him to, is sometimes more than he can bear. I'm going to say to every mother in here who is divided or separated from their children, have hope. Don't give up. Don't push yourselves on them. But get on your knees like Anna and say, God, if I'm the one who's wrong, forgive me. I want to reconcile with my daughter, with my son. I want my children. Any children in here, you're finding it hard to forgive your mother? Who taught her? Who helped her to become a mother and know what to do? So many of the generation that my mum is from, nobody taught them. They just did their best. And I had to learn to forgive the errors and the mistakes. They didn't know any better. But I, through the word of God, I know better. I can do better because the word of God is in my life. And that makes the difference. It makes the difference. So what is living in you, women of God, mothers in this house today? The word of God is living in you. Take it and allow it to make a difference into the next generation and into those around us. Isaiah 54 says, and it's talking about Israel, but it uses Israel in the image of a woman. And one of the verses I love is that it says, enlarge the place of your tents. Why don't we do that, women? Nobody can stop us from doing the will of God and being what he wants us to be. So why don't we enlarge the place of our tents? Why don't we spread out from one side to the other with our faith? With what we give into the lives of the next generation. Don't give up if you think, well, my children are grown and it's too late. It's not. Your prayers will count. Keep praying, believing, pressing in. If your children are young, you've got new opportunity to impact them in ways they haven't been before. Grandchildren, impact them. One of my cousins in the States, she moved to the States so that she could help bring up her grandson. And honestly, at sort of 7, 8, 9 years old, I can't remember how he is now, he just loves the Lord, even though his parents aren't serving God. Because the grandmother was instilling something in him. And he loves the Lord. Hallelujah. We can do this. So like Timothy, who came from a good lineage, be the lineage for the future generations. A word for the childless woman, and I really want to thank God for yesterday's parents-to-be. It's a great ministry that are looking at different aspects of parenthood. But yesterday was for couples who are believing for the fruit of the womb. They're believing to have a child. And as I pray today, I want to pray for those that were there yesterday and that God would do something for them. Because Galatians 4:27 quotes Isaiah 54. For it is written in the scriptures, rejoice, O barren woman who has not given birth to children. Break forth into a joyful song, shout, you who are not feeling birth pangs. For the desolate woman has many more children than she who has a husband. So it speaks again of the ability to have spiritual children and impact their lives. Don't feel left out today. Psalm 113 and verse 9 also says, he makes the barren woman to be a homemaker and a joyful mother of spiritual children. Praise the Lord. So every category of mother counts in here today.